it's very interesting how you start working with architectural language as an artistic way of expression, because it's not so obvious. Because you primarily were interested in drawing as a medium, artistic expression. Maybe you can tell a little bit how looked your path from interest of working on two-dimensional drawings, hence drawings with working with industrial materials and creating those huge site-specific installations.
Yeah, if I go a bit further, when I grew up in Argentina, I started studying in high school, beginning of secondary studies. I don't know exactly what would be the equivalent, but I started studying informatics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to France for a year, and then to Belgium, where I'm living for the last 20 years. And I studied, indeed, drawing. And I think after the first year of drawing, I started working on drawing, or the logics of drawing, or questioning the logic of drawings through different scales and mediums. So from the paper, I went to the objects and became more sculptural way of working the drawing, and the signs and the readability of a sign and of language, of drawn language, no matter which type. And then the scale kept growing and becoming more inclusive of the space, and then the from sculpture became installation, mm-hmm. and so on. But for me, even today, there's still a strong relation to drawing, in the sense that I have the feeling that with these installations, I'm drawing a lot in the space,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you can feel lines and planes, do you say a plane?
Yeah.
In English. So you still, I still feel that it's very related to the way how drawing is constructed, and I think this informs in a certain way even today my installations.
And maybe also that it is still working with industrial materials. It captures your manual work. It's almost like artisan work of having control of the materials and having a control over the composition and how placing them to the tiny details.
And also, I think there's a certain care of those materials,
mm-hmm.
of the way they are treated and the way they are placed, and even how the screws are placed in the walls. They are not randomly placed as you would do in construction site, because usually you paint them and you're not supposed to see them. So there is no reason for having this kind of care with some of the elements of the installation if it would be a construction site. And I think part of those of that care and that precision comes from this drawing composition in the space, or this way of care you have through drawing with the paper or with the materials. And I think it also informed the way I work the details of the installation.
It's very intimate in a way, yes. But you mentioned a little bit about your upbringing, because you traveled quite a lot, and I know from your personal side that you also were growing up often in houses under construction, in renovation, and like, do you think this also shaped a little bit your way of, I don't know, your sense of aesthetics or like visual language that is interesting for you? Once I saw in your studio this beautiful photo printed on concrete wall of your brother when he was a child, like it's like a very personal memory from childhood captured in concrete, like
yeah.
I found intriguing always.
I grew up in Argentina and my parents first house they bought was a kind of a abandoned house, so it was a ruin, and then we were living there while reconstructing and rebuilding the house while I was a kid, and when they finished the house, they sold it and bought another one in the same condition, and this cycle was repeating itself many times, and then that's how they managed to pay the loan they got for the first house with this rebuilding of this abandoned places. And and then when the crisis arrived in Argentina, they lost all that effort and years of work because of the economical crisis, where the house was suddenly worthless again. And then we managed to move to France, and then it was the same story there with these abandoned houses that we were living in and then rebuilding. So I naturally grew up in those construction sites, I think not paying much attention to it, because it was quite natural, and helping my parents build some of the parts of it. And I think it's quite recently, in the last few years, that I realized how much that those experiences actually shaped the way I work with materials, and I think also the care I give to those materials, because when you are living for a long time in a construction site, then that becomes very homely or very cozy at some point, or not, depends the situation. But
or attitude.
Exactly, it depends your attitude also toward it. But I think that kind of informed the gestures I can have regarding those materials, and also why do I do some transformations of the space that in a way maybe don't fully make sense for an architect, or maybe they do, depending like the situations, but they still feel very natural in a way. And I think all this complex relation I have towards architecture comes also from my childhood
but
experience.
Also it creates a certain universal story, because despite the geographic location, houses under construction or houses unfortunately in demolition, they look alike.
Mm-hmm.
It is a moment of the creating of architecture when it's still without a specific identity, and all the traces of like a sort of cultural imprint are almost invisible, because nowadays in this it's so difficult to have a very specific industrial architecture with an imprint of a specific location. So
yeah, and that's why also I don't work with ornament.
Yeah,
and I try to have a very, I wouldn't say generic architecture, but at least you cannot identify.
But this is architecture which is like striped from all the pores that later on is added by users of this architecture. It's like focusing on the core, what makes the building, but actually the core is a sense of a universal story, and this story is with a prospect of future, because it can still evaluate in certain direction, or it has also a notion of the past, or like of demolition of it.
Yeah.
So it's this situation in between.
That's exactly the situation where I try to arrive with installations, where you don't know exactly what was the past of what you're seeing and what would be the future of what you're seeing, if it's being built or unbuilt, and therefore trying to create a certain open situation where the viewer can also project itself and project the what would be the next steps of the building. Is it going to be dismantled or built, and then how? So it's kind of also leaving a situation which is quite open to not only to interpretation of the conditions of what the person is seeing, but also of what's the becoming of the place.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to this place? What was the use for it? What would be the future use of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or also giving a certain flexibility regarding our perception of architecture as something very fixed in time and use and functionality, and to try to to suggest that it's not that fixed, and places, building or institutions or whatever thing that looks very, very stable in time and function can change from one day to another and become
something else or stop
something
existing.
Else or stop existing or being dismounted or rebuilt or whatever. So it's also a way to try to expand a bit this logic of what could be the becoming of something that looks very mm-hmm. solid and impossible to change from the building to something maybe more general.
Mm-hmm. And what is interesting that together we decided to invite five artists. Four of them are visual artists: Amel Omar, Rosario Aninat, Nina Canel, Manon van den Eyden. And the last artist is a choreographer, Sandy Williams, who will translate the entire installation into a dance performance that he will perform together with Nick Robay. It's an interesting question why we decided to invite those artists in your solo show.
For me, when you proposed me to invite artists to participate in this solo as responses or interventions, for me it seemed quite natural somehow, because in the last years there were a few shows where not the same situation but similar situations almost happened in different contexts, like in Espasmos a few years ago. In the installation, I invited people to play music or perform or to cook street food.
But in this case, the residue of installation, of their interventions in your installation, was remains.
Exactly, and so in that installation, it was quite ephemeral. Like there weren't really leftovers of these moments. And here it seemed to me quite interesting to have people invited, these artists invited to respond to the installation. So you proposed some artists, I proposed some others, and I think
we had the discussions and like individual conversations with artists and then there was
a set of a context of how these interventions could happen. Some are more like an adaptation of pieces, or at least those pieces are a starting point for an adaptation that could be an interesting response that it was suggested to the artist, and some of them agreed to do an adaptation of it. Others wanted to do something new that still would respond to the space. And to the installation, and for me what was interesting was to find either works that would be adapted or new works, but that would be kind of ambiguous also, as if it would be maybe something that you don't know who did what and where.
Mm-hmm. In a sense also kind of organic for the installation, or following the certain logic of this space.
Following a certain logic where, for example, they wouldn't make the installation become a scenography, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore they have to somehow blend not only visually somehow, but also with the logic of the installation, or at least with the logic of how I work with the materials or the gestures I do. Somehow they connect, and they follow a certain logic.
All of them, they have those architectural, industrial components, although it's interpreted in very different ways, sometimes very subtle, very romantic, sometimes in more rougher way. And also, I think it was not easy situation, because we didn't work on any protocol. So on the one hand, artists got carte blanche to work with the space. On the other hand, we trusted that everyone will follow what we said earlier, certain logic parameter of the installation, so that it will be kind of natural in the space. I think there are like those nice elements that can be discovered in a closer inspection of the installation.
Yeah, and since they're added along the timeline of the show, they also permit to they also help to renew the use of the space. Mm-hmm. The space changes also with time,
yes.
Which also makes sense, I think, in my practice, that it's still under construction and change. The whole installation is not just fixed in how it is from the first day to the last day.
It's not the empty shell. It's not just something
that's stuck in time.
Stuck in time.
It's still evolving with the timeline of the show through those interventions and these responses of the invited artists. And I think that was something very, very interesting to try out. And I'm very happy with the result of this new experience.
Maybe talking about the evolution through passing time, maybe we can focus a bit on the future, because you are not slowing down. After the closing the exhibition on the 1st of December 2024 at Extra City, just in actually several weeks later, you opened the continuation of this exhibition in Complot in Brussels, which is a new interpretation of this installation.
Yes, the show was thought as two parts or two chapters, and so the first part is the one that we can see now in Extra City, and the second part would be in Complot. And it's not a repetition of the same show, but it's kind of a continuation of the show with new different approach while following the same structure, let's say.
Yes, and it also comes with a certain public program that maybe you won't disclose now. And also this exhibition, both exhibition could happen thanks to the extra funds that we received from program Culture Culture, initiated by the Ministry of Culture of the Flemish Community and Federation Wallonie-Brussels, in collaboration with Complot and Extra City.